ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Tom Kubinek is the CEO of Securit Tactical. He is a musician turned entrepreneur, a speed record holder, and a military tech innovator. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. I'm looking forward. I read your bio, did a little research. I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
Excellent. Well, me too. Appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Personal life, family, kids are now exiting college or have recently exited. So I've got one who lives in London. He's an economics teacher. The other two are just finishing up. And, my personal life is pretty quiet. I try to spend most of my time outside. I'm a true outdoor person. In another life, I would have been a farmer. I just love being out doing something, driving a tractor, anything. Business-wise, Securit is my third business. As you mentioned, I was a professional musician, guitar player, and that was my career path. And I practiced for 8-10 hours a day, was moved to Hollywood. Guitar Player magazine did an article on me in 1984. They'd heard one of my demos, and the article was, "This is one of the best unknown guitar players out there." I could play. I was a kid. I was unknown. So I moved to Hollywood and shortly thereafter developed chronic tendonitis. Career was over. So I took a job telemarketing, typewriter ribbons and liftoff tapes because they'd hire anybody. I had no other skills. And I couldn't play. So I immersed myself in the world of sales and I read every book, listened to a lot of cassette tapes back then. And about 18 months later, I quit and started a telemarketing company in an apartment in Panorama City, which is a really bad neighborhood in the San Fernando Valley, and built that to 4 years later. We had 18 sales reps, sold my partner, started Greenline Data, built that up, got into e-com in the 90s early, and taught myself HTML. And I was writing websites and creating some programming language within manipulating websites. And we became a very large seller of laptop storage and laptop security cabinets when the HIPAA laws came out, where all the hospitals had to lock patient data. And a guy called me and said, "Can you guys store an MP5? And I'm like, "Sure. What's an MP5? And he goes, "It's a little submachine gun." I started laughing. And again, I'd never owned a gun. And I said, "Who is this?" He was with the FBI. So we talked for about 20 minutes. I said, "Give me a week." And I started doing a little research. This is before Google. This is Yahoo days. Research was not as easy. But I kept finding all these references that the military were really struggling in armories. And at that time, the Gulf Wars, all that was going on. And I thought, this is really interesting. I felt I had an opportunity to make a difference. And I got involved in weapon storage. I called the guy that made my laptop cabinets. And I said, "Steve, got a crazy idea. Let's make weapon racks." He started laughing. He said, "Tom, I'm already working with the Canadian government on a design." So we became a dealer of his product. They were a Canadian manufacturer and started learning defense contracting. It's a steep curve. We were horrible at it, but we got very good at it. He wouldn't make changes. His system was really designed for Canadian specs. And in 2008, I designed and patented the Securit Tactical Weapon Storage Platform, what we now call Cradle Grid. That was 2008. By 2011, we were the primary supplier to the U.S. military. And then sequestration hit, the force cutbacks. We almost went out of business, decided to go into consumer products in 2014, made Inc. Magazine's fastest growing companies in America in 18 and in 21. And consumer products is now probably 86, 87% of my business. The military still, it's our core. It's what we do. Our mission is to support the warfighter. But the retail market is just so much bigger. That's the 2.6-minute version.
That is well done. Well done, sir. Were you passionate about guitar? Did you love it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all I did. I'll tell you what, the year when I was developing tendonitis, I mean, my goal at that point where I was, I really wanted to play for Ozzy or be, you know, just I could play, man. I could play well. And, you know, when you first get tendonitis, you're, oh, shoot. Well, I would take some time off. Well, a week turns into 2 weeks, turns into a month. Now I'm like, what the hell's going on? Start meeting with doctors, start meeting with experts, I didn't have a lot of money back then. I was kind of a broke musician. And, nothing was giving me relief. And it was about 7-8 months into this, and it was actually getting worse. The more I rested, the worse it got. And there's a point where I realized this is, I'm done. This is it. I got to the edge of the cliff. I'm about to jump. And I just felt my whole world was taken away. And I'd just gotten married. I married my high school sweetheart. We met when I was in high school, and we stayed together through all my music stuff. And I'm sure it was a difficult 18 months for her. I'm not sure how big of an ass I was. I know it was it was difficult. I was highly stressed, highly agitated, mad at the world. And I took a job telemarketing, and I was horrible at it. I was so bad that the manager, he liked me because I worked hard. He moved me to a non-sales position. I had a good salary for a kid. I'm like, I don't want to do this. So I quit that job and worked for another guy who paid straight commission, saying, look, I'm either going to produce or I'm going to die. I'm not going to live in this middle world. And just grounded out. I wasn't a good salesman, but I made more than double the calls of anybody else in that company. And just through numbers, I ground through it. And then we started Jet Computer. And about 4 years into that career, I realized I hated being a musician. I loved playing guitar, but the life of a professional musician, I was so much happier. Once the business was happening, I had some employees. Now I got the ability to train and influence and actually help these young guys. People are, you know, when you're telemarketing, this kind of stuff, you're hiring out of work musicians, wannabe actors, and drug addicts. All of them are in need of self-confidence. You know, they're just, and it's such an opportunity to kind of give back a little bit. And my life became very good.
Well, that's certainly a beautiful thing. I mean, terrible, yeah. that what you loved doing, for lack of a better term, got taken away by tendonitis, and then you figured it out. I guess the overarching question is, what is passion's role in business, if it even has one?
I think it's probably the biggest driver of success for the right CEO or the right person trying to get into it. That's if you talk to anybody here, say, what's Tom's biggest trait? He said, oh, his passion for what he does. So I am 100% committed to what this company's trying to do. I live, breathe, and sleep this. And sometimes it drives my wife crazy. We're actually going on a family vacation. We haven't taken one in probably 5 years, leaving on Saturday morning. So it'd be nice to get away. And I do, when I leave the business, I do disconnect. I've got the organization now where I can be away from this office for probably 10 days and not feel the phone call. So I've got a very good team. And, you know, I run my business. I'm the only guy I know that runs a business at this level.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, winning isn't everything. Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I average 12 emails a day. That's it. I got so many people I do in business that get hundreds, if not thousands, of emails. They spend hours every morning. And it's a very strict set of rules here. You never CC me on an email. If you have a question for me, you ask. But don't CC me to let me know you're doing your job. And I don't want anybody, so I've got it down to, again, I have my junk email accounts I use when I buy stuff. But for business, most people I know, I'm a member of a Vistage group, so I meet a lot of CEOs, are shocked when they see how little input I'm getting from email, which I think is one of the biggest drags in life.
Yeah, I feel like you should somehow write a book or a white paper of some kind and explain
now,
how
it's a lot of people. I talk to people about it. They won't make the changes because I think there's a little bit of validation of importance, or there's something there about getting all this stuff into you. And I live in a world. I mean, I get up at 4 a.m. usually, 4:30. When it's winter time, I work out. I'll do stuff in the house. In the summer, I've got a 500-acre hunting ranch, and I'm out on a tractor or an excavator doing something till about 8:30, 9 o'clock, completely solo. And that's the best part of my day. Sometimes I like being in. You know, I'm perfectly comfortable. Like during COVID, I was the only guy in the office. I actually enjoyed it. So it's I don't mind working in a bit of isolation.
Yeah,
I
appreciate that. So that you've experienced success across so many different domains, like it appears that everything that you decide to do, you're good at, and you become.
Well,
so is it that you're passionate about firearms and firearm safety, or is it you're passionate about success and hard work and achievement?
The whole firearms thing, I really thought about, I could make a difference with the military, and I just thought it was cool. I mean, I just thought, this is so cool. Cause I didn't grow up in a gun family. I knew how to shoot, and in Boy Scout camp, I won the marksmanship, trophy, 3 years in a row. I could shoot, but I wasn't a gun guy. I just thought it was cool. And it was a challenge because the military was truly struggling, and all the big players just didn't get it. And I came in from the outside. You know, you say you're thinking outside the box. We didn't even know there was a box. You know, we were so far removed. And it just, once we got going, the spatial relations side of designing and ergonomically planning armories, I just thought was so much fun to do. So at the time, Greenline Data is still a computer supply, laptop storage, tape racks, all this business is running. Secure was a little side business. I was just drawing up armories. It was me. I had one other person working for me. The companies ran as one until I actually didn't incorporate Secure it until 2009. It was still part of Greenline Data. I just loved that. And it didn't have to be guns. I could have been designing garage systems, but having that, we created our own software for doing the design work, and just that kind of spatial relations use of creativity. I'm a big believer in business now. More than anything else, creativity is what's driving the difference in levels of success, because everybody works hard, but most people have creativity beaten out of them by about 8th grade, 9th grade.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's just the world we live in. Little kids, they always say, kids say the damnedest thing. Oh, kids say such funny things because they don't have the filters. And they go to kindergarten, they say something goofy, and everybody laughs at them. They say, oh, I won't do that again. And then they're doing something. Oh, Billy, we don't say that. And it constant. Then you get into college or high school, it's really clicky, and everybody wants to conform, be part of the group. And I've seen in businesses, boardrooms and things where people are so worried about sticking out, about being different, that the whole corporate experience there is just this gray envelope of nothing. There's just nothing there. Whereas, Secure it, we've always been, I've referred to the company for years as the band of misfits. And when I hire people, I say, look, we hire misfits. I'm not saying they're misfit, that they are. I just want them to know when they come to this company, I want them. I don't want this persona. I don't want, I've had a sales rep who called me for years. It was a late girl. And I got to know her real well. And then I saw her at this business conference And she was totally different. And I said, well, you are so different. She's, oh, that's just, that's my work self. That's just, I just put that on for work. I'm just like, I don't ever want to have somebody that puts on a persona. I want, and we've got people working here that are quirky as hell. I love every bit of it. It's because that's where, you know, the fringes of sanity is where all the creative ideas come. The best ideas come from lunacy. And part of my job is to keep everybody, you know, at times when we're trying to solve a problem with creativity, I want everybody, if you're sitting in a chair rocking back and you almost fall backwards, there's that moment of panic. You want people in that panic world when you're trying to creatively solve a problem because it just pushes your brain into another level. So it's...
I love that because we can all think back to that feeling of a miss. So that's...
But it's really, how do you trigger... How can you get people to use their creativity? Because again, babies are born, all they have is creativity. And by the time you're 18, 19, you have some kids have very little and they're very afraid to share it or to express themselves where they could be judged.
Which is a sad thing. I couldn't agree more. So you've talked about how you enjoy being on your own, being out in the tractor, whatever it might be. You talked about how you didn't mind being the only guy in the office during COVID. And you mentioned that you're part of a professional networking group. So what value do you get? I appreciate solitary stuff because I like to be alone also. What is the value that you get and why should people consider joining a mastermind or a networking group or whatever the term might be?
You know, I'm a member of Vistage and it's a, I'm the farthest distance member. I'm the senior rank. I've been a member for 13 years. I drive 2 hours to Albany once a month. We meet for a whole day. And that group has had a bigger impact on my career and my success than any other thing I've ever done. And it's only because I've got, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12 other CEOs all running, you know, small to mid-sized companies. And we show up and it's like having a board of directors, but they can hold me accountable to a level that my wife can't even hold me. You know, it's, I got so much respect for these guys, for these people, these men and women. And if I've got a serious business issue, I bring it in, we process it. And if we come up with some solutions, I've got to implement them. I don't have a choice. Ah, guys, I didn't do it. It doesn't work that way, but you don't need to do everything I like to be in isolation. I like to be alone and you know, work through my thoughts. But when it comes to problem solving, when it comes to, you know, the best possible solutions for a problem, I want a lot of input. And, you know, a group like Vistage for me, just, it's that reality check. You know, I didn't go to college. I've never worked for another company. I mean, I work jobs, you name it. I've done it from driving a cab to all sorts of stuff as a musician. I never worked in like in corporate world. So when Securit started to see that this thing's got a lot of potential.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Saving money on your next project with help from Menards. Be prepared for flooding and keep your basement dry with Barracuda Pumps. Barracuda makes high-quality pumps that offer dependable performance for when you need it most. Save big money on all Barracuda Pumps now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
I went into a meeting with a Vistage group one day. I said, guys, look, I'm a CEO of this company. I don't know what a CEO does. And they all started laughing. I'm going, guys, seriously, I have no idea. I'm a salesman. That's what I sell stuff. And I actually hired a gentleman who owned a business that was one of my suppliers that he had sold. And he was looking at retirement. And I said, Frank, I want to hire you for 3 years. Your job is to teach me how to be a CEO. You're going to be number two in the company and teach me how to be a CEO. And same time, I was with my Vistas group saying, guys, I got to figure this out. And between the two of them, I made such a major shift in everything I did business-wise. And that's when the company just hockey sticked and we just took off. So it absolutely worked. And CEO, this type of stuff is a learned skill set because I learned it. I didn't like figure it out along the way. I guess the message for anybody listening is never hesitate to ask for help. Yes, I like to work alone, but I'm faced with a problem. I bounce it off lots of people. I'll sit and get coffee at Starbucks and people are talking, hey, I got something I'm trying to figure out. Run it by total strangers. Because it's the random inputs that sometimes trigger you to see things differently.
Well, that's evidence of a healthy ego or very small ego.
Yes. I don't know. It's when I was a musician, you know, heavy metal guitar player playing in a band, it's pretty damn cool. I mean, I was a lead guitar player. I played in a Judas Priest Iron Maiden cover band. I'll tell you what, you know, we set the attendance record at one bar in Rochester. We played the pack places and it was really cool. I didn't make any money, but when you're doing that, you don't need money because you're getting this ego fix that's so strong. But at the end, when I look back at it, I wasn't happy. You know, I was so aggressively pursuing this that it never occurred to me whether I even should be happy or not. I just liked the fact that I was improving on guitar and I was getting better gigs and I was moving up in the food chain. I thought that's again, I'm making this happen. But when we all kind of fell apart, didn't take long where all of a sudden, like, you know what? I would have been miserable possibly had it not happened that I was still a musician. I don't know. I might have a very different life. Maybe not as good.
Yeah, certainly. It certainly would be different. I'm confident you would have figured it out. What are your thoughts on risk? And I guess perhaps what is your advice to your kids on thinking about risk, taking it on, avoiding it?
Boy, it's a tough, that's the big holy grail right now with kids. And we live in a world where parents are not allowing their kids to explore risk. I see it all the time. Look, I mean, the gym, the playgrounds in grade school when I was a kid, they're death traps now. You know, there was like those swing sets with the metal bars and stuff. I mean, one wrong move and you had a concussion. But we all played. Like I left my house when I was a kid at, you know, 8:30 in the morning. I might come home for lunch, but I had to be home by 5 for dinner. We were just out playing all day. And now it's all arranged play dates. And my neighbor across the street did not allow her daughter to play in our backyard, even in high school.
Amazing.
She couldn't see. But that's, so I think we have a whole generation of kids that really struggle with assessing risk, from just walking close to the edge of a cliff if you're on a hiking trail to a business decision. So, and then the other side of, when you talk about entrepreneurism, I'm kind of developing this belief or this mindset that you can't teach entrepreneurs. It's not something you learn. You either have it or you don't. And it comes down to not risk tolerance, but handling risk. And, you know, the entrepreneur can have a lot of crazy stuff happening. Like when I was running Jet Computer, payroll came out on Tuesdays. On Friday, I did not have enough money to make my payroll. But I knew Monday is my biggest day for mail. And back then, you're getting checks in the mail. So, all right, we'll get enough checks on Monday. We'll make payroll. Won't be a problem. And I slept like a baby all weekend. Didn't bother me at all. That was the world. A non-entrepreneur would be a nervous wreck until they got that mail on Monday. And they'd be panic opening to make sure. Because, again, you don't make payroll, especially in Los Angeles, you could be arrested. I mean, your employees, especially in the sales, like telemarketing, you don't pay those guys, they're going to jump because there's 1,000 companies doing this and they're just going to jump. So it's a big deal, but the entrepreneur assesses the risk, understands it, and then sleeps well. And it doesn't, they can just let it go. And the people who can't do that, you got to be careful because, you know, don't take on a business venture that has inherent risk in it because you may be very successful, but you may not be very happy, or you may be very stressed.
Yeah. So you let your kids just do whatever, Tom?
I try to. I do. My daughter was climbing trees when she was, you know, 2 years old, 3 years old, pretty high sometimes. And I've got pictures of her like in an Easter morning dress, like way up in this macadamia tree. And you know, we live in California. So I try to. My youngest son, you know, I'm a car racer, and he and I raced go-karts for a while. And that's, my wife didn't know how dangerous that was. That's, go-kart racing is no joke. And you know, you're 65 miles an hour in this little thing. There's no seat belts. And if something breaks, there's some areas in the track where you're going to get hurt. So yeah, you know what? Stuff happens. I life's too short to live in fear. It just is. So I try to get my kids to assess the risk and move cautiously, but don't move in fear. You can live without fear.
That's a line right there, brother. I love it. One more question, Tom. What's your favorite rock and roll song? Hard rock song.
Oh, geez. Favorite rock and roll. It really, I'm not sure there's one. It depends on, because for me, the music sets the tone. There's so many AC/DC songs that you walk in the room and just, boom, you own the damn room.
That's right.
You know, Back in Black is a great tune. I think there's some great, I was never a Guns N' Roses fan, but listening to it now, they've got some great music. I love, this is newer stuff, Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
Some of their stuff is love their stuff. Going back to my days, I was a big fan of Black Sabbath with Ronnie James Dio. I think that's the best. Heaven and Hell probably is the best heavy metal album. If you had to pick one, I think that'd be my choice.
I love it. Those are good ones, brother. Well, thank you so much.
Do I listen to a lot of that? I don't. I listen to shockingly little music. I play music, but when I'm driving, I don't typically, I have car quiet and I just think. But yeah,
it's a good way to do it. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you sharing your story and some wisdom with us. How can people learn more? How could they engage with you?
My business is Secure It. If you Google the word Secure It, it's secureitgunstorage.com, or Google my name, which will probably be in the notes. And I'm all over social media. I will plug real quick. There's a documentary we just released. It's called Salt. And it details my week at Bonneville Salt Flats last August. We set a land speed record, a rookie team, first time. I'm the driver, owner, and my crew chief who built the car. Sorry, we're both rookies, and we annihilated the land speed record.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And the documentary, it didn't cost me much to make. The guy that made it promised me a 15-minute documentary. It turned into an hour, and it's gone. It's blown up on YouTube, and people just love it. So it's a great film to really dig into what happens in this crazy world of land speed racing on salt. And just two people formed a friendship and just achieved an amazing result. So if you're on YouTube, it's on YouTube. You look up Salt, Two Rookies would probably find it, or Two Rookies Bonneville. But it's, yes, I met with the producer, and we're going to submit it some film festivals, I think, because it's a much better film than I thought we were going to make. I was kind of just making something fun, and it turned into something pretty special.
I love it. Well, it begs the question, how fast?
The record I set is 142 miles an hour. My top speed was 172. The one caveat you have to understand is this is a sports car with a 750cc motor, half the size of a Volkswagen Bug. This is a small motorcycle engine. So the record was 111. We ran top speed of 172. You're required to do two runs, and the average, the speed, our second run against that top record, our spark plugs melted. It just basically completely disintegrated. We ran 113. So the record came out to 142 point something. We are going back. We ran out of gear. We ran 172. I hit the rev limiter in fifth gear at a mile and a half. I had 3 miles. So we're pegging the car to do about 225. So we're going to go after 200 next year. And that's a whole, the difference between 172 and 200 is way more than the distance between time between zero and 172. Getting what's happening with air, what's happening in the environment just gets crazy. So it's going to be a very difficult push, but that's the goal, is to break 200 next year. And that's, when you break 200, you get a red baseball hat. That's it. So I figured, let's get a red baseball hat.
F yeah, totally.
It's as arbitrary as I can possibly imagine, but and I'm probably going to, at that point, probably hang that one up, and I'm gonna get back into racing. Probably vintage car racing is my next plan.
So it's probably really easy for a smart person to do. How long does it take to travel 3 miles at 170 miles an hour?
It's a drag race. I don't know, 35 seconds. It's pretty quick.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's not, I envision sitting there trying to get more speed. It's a drag race. It's just, you're going up. And when the car hooked up, I went to 172 really fast. Once I got above 140, my first time, all of a sudden I'm like, if I touch this steering wheel, I'm going to snap spin.
It's over.
The car was just real. I was just tracking in other people's wheel marks on the salt, and real like seat of your pants. Just, it was the coolest, one of the coolest things I've ever done. I just, for me personally in that car, it's so surreal out there. And that's what the documentary captures, some of that really well, just miles of nothing but salt. And, yeah, it's, you can't put it in the words, but once you're there, they call it salt fever. And my son, who was, he was one of the crew. We're both like, we got to get back out here. There's no way we're not coming back out here. So,
well, I'm glad that I asked that question, because that helps to circle back on that question about how you feel about risk, Tom.
Yeah. Well, you know what is. Yeah, I might die tomorrow. I might die driving home today.
Yeah,
I don't
sure.
know, but I'm not going to end up in a bed in the hospital. I can promise you that. I'm not. And I'll go out on my terms when that time comes. But, you know, I'm running out of time. And I look at life as about experiences. There's so many things I want to do that I haven't done just because I want the experience. I want to know what it, like my wife said, why do you want to do this? This is crazy. Watch, you know, watch that Rules Fastest Indian. I said, honey, I can read all the books I want, but I don't know what it's like to sit behind the wheel of the car unless I do it. And she didn't understand it. But I mean, simple things like once I finally retire, I want to say, honey, pack, we're getting in the truck, we're driving to Alaska. I've been close to a lot. I just want to do a road trip up to the Rockies, and just because I haven't. And just keep finding new things. Because it's my belief at the end of your life, you know, all we have is our experiences. That's it. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Can't, you know, it's all about looking back, and just for me, it's like, man, what a ride. I panic that I'm running out of time. You know, we've only got 24 hours a day, and I could use 30. I really could. So,
panic that you're running out of time. Well, I appreciate
that's
that.
That's what stresses me, is time. Absolutely.
I obviously have just gotten to know you a little bit today, Tom. I've never met your wife, but I'm guessing that you're going to have to play some music on that trip from Northern New York to Alaska.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We'll have all sorts of, we find it's yeah. The tools for music now are so good. You can go into Spotify and just put some general search terms in. It brings up such good random. My youngest son he does music when we're on a family trip, and he ranges from the 1920s up until recent. And he has a knack for picking music that fits wherever we're driving or the mood. And I've never met somebody who has a greater knowledge of the span of music from pulling out this old jazz, like, oh my God, I remember that song, to 70s, you know, crazy stuff. It's like, I haven't heard this song since AM radio. And just, he has a knack for it. So I've got people around me that keep me listening to the right stuff, I guess.
I love it. If you enjoyed as much as I did, show Tom your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to SecureItTactical.com.
SecureItGunStorage.com. SecureIt Tactical is the military site. SecureIt Gun Storage is our retail site. Everything comes back to us, but lightweight, adaptable gun safes. That's what we do.
Excellent. And then you can find Tom. You can just throw in his last name. It's spelled K-U-B-I-N-I-E-C. Yep. And then watch the Salt documentary on YouTube. And I will absolutely link that in the notes of the show, as well as everything else. So yeah, we can find that easily, because I'm sure that everybody's going to want to check that out. So thanks again, Tom.
All right. Thank you very much.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.